Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
Water. One thing you've got to have for life as we know it to exist, and there it is on Mars.
We landed right on top of water ice, and the thrusters spread the soil away and revealed ice right underneath our lander. This was unexpected.
NASA's Peter Smith, principal investigator for the Phoenix Mars lander, which did scoop up some of that ice and cooked it, and yes, it is water, CBS News space analyst Bill Harwood.
If they can find signs of organic compounds, these are the compounds that are necessary, on Earth at least, for life to evolve. You have a potential habitat on Mars.
200,000 state workers in California will now be receiving the federal minimum wage. 22,000 part-time workers won't have jobs at all.
Thousands of pink slips will start going out across the state. And I'm also canceling all overtime except for public safety and 24-hour medical care.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger making that decision today, 1 month after the late state budget was due. It's still not in. Decapitation on a Greyhound bus happened in the middle of the night in the middle of the Manitoba, Canada wilderness.
The fact that people were screaming didn't really seem to make any impression on the man. In fact, he seemed to be focused on allegedly carving up this younger man in front of them.
Gabrielle Giraudet, reporter for the Winnipeg Free Press, she says the bus driver successfully locked that killer inside the bus until authorities arrived. Sexual assault in the military, how common is it?
Women serving in the U.S. military today are more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by enemy fire in Iraq.
California Congresswoman Jane Harmon says she's shocked by the testimony at a congressional hearing into the subject today. Driving and keeping a car sure takes a lot of money these days, especially if you own more than one.
Coast to coast, the federal government owns 642,000 vehicles, including the military. An inventory just released says that's up 2% in the past year, though operating costs actually fell a bit to $3.4 billion. Still, Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, seeing government minivans and SUVs idling, their drivers waiting outside buildings, is calling on the president to issue an order
to shut the car off. If you want to stay cool, go in where the air conditioning is. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than burning $4 gas.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Representatives for Elizabeth Taylor say the Oscar-winning actress is hospitalized but is expecting to return home soon. Now we've got one, a new drug that gives you the benefits of exercise without the sweat.
It can simulate some of the effects that exercise training has on the muscle.
But Lori Goodyear, Joslin Diabetes Center, says no pill can really replace the benefits of exercise. Although developers at the Salk Institute on the West Coast are not so sure about that, they say they've already developed a test for its use in case athletes try to cheat with it. Wall Street's worrying today. The Dow drops 205 points to finish at 11,378. This is CBS News.
It's time to get more for less, because right now at the Home Depot end of season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store, including our wide selection of interior and exterior lighting, programmable thermostats, bath faucets, and more. All your favorite brands and all for less. Right now, save 25% or more on select items at the Home Depot end of season clearance event. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the women's softball team did America proud by pulling through for gold. You, on the other hand, somehow pulled a tricep after trying some weird new swing at the batting cages. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
A boy in suburban New Orleans loses his arm to an alligator. WWL reporter Dave Cohen tells us what happened.
Cops chased down, shot, and killed the 11-foot alligator, cut its belly open, and pulled the child's arm out. The family says, however, efforts to reattach the severed limb to the 11-year-old boy have been unsuccessful.
Now we all hope for the miracle that he'll recover fine.
The family says the prognosis for recovery is looking good. Sheriff Jack Strain says the attack was unusual.
We've had problems with gators, but no one in this area knows of a gator going after, pursuing humans in water for prey.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
A popular Scrabble knockoff back on Facebook. This week, the creators of Scrabulous voluntarily removing it from the online hangout. This after the owners of Scrabble's North American rights filed a federal lawsuit. Now the game is back. Appearing with the name Word Scraper, and the game itself also changing. Instead of Scrabble-like square tiles, Word Scraper has circular tiles. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
It's time to get more for less, because right now at the Home Depot end of season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store, including our wide selection of interior and exterior lighting, programmable thermostats, bath faucets, and more. All your favorite brands and all for less. Right now, save 25% or more on select items at the Home Depot end of season clearance event. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here. So you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this, because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, or the classy CRV for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back, and I'm not.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your fresh and humble host, Peter B. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with. Your calls and comments always welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Faz Shakir will join us in a moment from Washington. Update us on a judicial decision about executive privilege, the president's comments about Iraq, and record obscene profits for oil companies, among other things. Later this hour, Mike Lux, a progressive activist in Washington, will join us. He blogs at openleft.com, where there's a post promoting Wes Clark for the Democratic vice presidential ticket. And I also want to talk to him about the diehard Clinton fans, the people I characterize as give me Hillary or give me death. Scott Dick joins me next hour to talk about military and veterans issues. And despite the president's assertion, and it is a fact, only 11 Americans were killed in Iraq this month, in July. But the carnage for Iraqis continues. And the president flatly stated, just like the media has, that the surge has worked, but we can't bring troops home. He's going to shorten the deployments, as he promised, for troops that haven't gone to Iraq yet. But it's just another one of those mixed messages from Bush. Also on the program today for our listeners, our weekend listeners in Portland, Oregon, and our weekday listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon, we're going to talk with the Speaker of the House in the Oregon Legislature. He is the Democrat who is challenging Senator Gordon Smith for that Senate seat in the U.S. Senate this fall. Jeff Merkley, the Speaker of the House, will be joining us to kick off the Free Speech Zone today. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, and you can always email me, and I love to get your comments, peter@peterbcollins.com. And tomorrow, I will be originating live from Madison, Wisconsin, the site of the nonstop radio Progressive Radio Symposium. Aldous Tyler and the gang will be there. Tom Hartman will kick off our show tomorrow. We'll also be talking with John Nichols, who writes for The Nation and is a leader in the media reform movement, and other pals from Madison like Matthew Rothschild of The Progressive and John Stauber from the Center for Media and Democracy. They'll be on the show with me tomorrow, too, live from Madison. And I know at least two of our listeners, Karen from Sacramento and Andy from New York, are journeying to Madison for this conference, and I will certainly be buying each of them a drink or whatever they need while we're there in the state capital of Wisconsin. Fannie Secure is the research director of the Center for American Progress, the Democratic or progressive think tank in Washington. He's also co-editor of their Daily Progress Report and keeps a constant eye on the thinkprogress.org blog. And Faz was not able to be with us last week. We had a weaker substitute. It was Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Faz.
Oh, well, you know. She certainly trumps me.
Well, oh, she doesn't have the range of facts at her fingertips like you do.
Oh, I'm sure she does, but I appreciate that.
Well, I wanted to start off with this court ruling from Judge John Bates, U.S. District Court, who ruled on the issues of the Judiciary Committee subpoenas for White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former White House Counsel Harriet Myers. They have both resisted those subpoenas, refused to appear. And the judge basically says that he can't make them testify, but he can make them appear.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he was weighing in on the legal question of whether these two White House officials, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, have immunity in their legal case against Congress. And on that legal question, he weighed in and said, no, they don't have immunity, and that Congress has the right to subpoena them. Now, in terms of enforcement, that's always been the question about who's going to enforce it and how, and Speaker Pelosi has been getting a lot of pressure to use the Congress's inherent contempt power, which would basically allow her to bring Karl Rove and Myers and Bolton right down to the jail cell in the basement of the Capitol if need be.
Yeah, it's underutilized.
Yes, it hasn't been utilized in a very long time. And unfortunately, you know, this is we're at the circumstance now where because of the lack of accountability and the lack of actions that have been taken to really conduct oversight over the Bush administration, mm-hmm. they've come to this.
And I'd love to put Karl Rove in there, turn the temperature down to about 25 degrees, and turn up the red hot chili peppers to about 140 decibels.
Well, you know, that's not torture. Because we don't torture. So I'm told.
Well, on the broader question here, I haven't seen the ruling, and maybe you have or haven't, but I'm just curious, Faz, because what intrigues me is in particular Rove and Myers, who no longer work at the White House, and they're asserting executive privilege about matters that purportedly they would have discussed with the president. And if so, then this is a cover, a dodge for potential criminal behavior by the president himself. Because, for example, the subpoena for Rove revolves around the Siegelman case. Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama, who was railroaded into jail by friends of Karl Rove. And his refusal to appear, does not that implicitly say that he discussed the Siegelman case with the president? That's the only way he could claim executive privilege on this matter.
And they're walking a very fine line here, Peter. And we put up an entry today on Think Progress, our blog, talking about Rove's appearance last night on Sean Hannity. You know, see, he didn't have time to appear before Congress, but he did have time to go on Fox News, and he talked to Fox about his refusal to appear, and he said, quote, "I have not exerted any personal privilege on this." And so he's aware of exactly what you're talking about, that if he asserts a privilege, he's going to implicate President Bush. And so he is saying he has not, and thus basically thumbing his nose at Congress and saying, well, I dare you. You know, you take the next step. And so it really is in Congress's court as to how they want to protect their power because, you know, Karl Rove has said that I don't have any privilege and I'm not going to assert it and I'm simply just not going to appear.
And so that's not based on any law or precedent. It's just his personal decision.
That's right. That's what he's saying. I mean, he said what his argument has articulated last night was that he's trying to stand up for this doctrine of separation of powers and that the president shouldn't have to have his aides be hauled before Congress. Now, that's a very different question than whether he's got a personal privilege, because he's not asserting it. He's not saying that I got a privilege because the president mm-hmm. gave it to me. He's just saying, well, I don't think it's a good precedent for White House aides to be hauled before Congress. Well, that's a whole different question. And on that question itself, David Addington has appeared before Congress. Mm-hmm. Doug Feith and a whole variety of other aides that were close to President Bush have appeared.
Yeah, Carl, come on down. Just be like Addington and bring a big attitude and talk trash to the distinguished members of the committee. But a no-show is truly contemptible.
Yes, exactly. I mean, he's daring. He's, in essence, daring Congress to say, all right, what are you going to do about it? And I think the other issue is the he's playing the clock, and he's trying to string this out to November.
So then I don't understand why Nancy Pelosi is dragging her feet and saying she won't make a decision until September that aids and abets gumming it to death and running out the clock.
Well, I think she may have a change of heart as of today because of that court ruling. Just moments ago, they asked her about what she thinks of the court ruling that Myers and Bolton don't have any immunity, and she said, quote, it's a victory for the Constitution, but it also means that, that we have the upper hand now, and she's going to move forward on Karl Rove, she said. Mm-hmm. So, I think she's feeling emboldened by the court decision. I think they were waiting for that to occur.
And we have invited Chairman Conyers on the program today. I talked to his press guy. It's possible he'll call in, so we'll wait and see.
And he quite honestly has much more sway in this than Pelosi does, because Pelosi has been very open. She said this at the Netroots Nation conference. She was asked directly about what she would do about Karl Rove. She said, Chairman Conyers has told me that he wants to be in the lead, and I'm basically turning it over to him. So if that's true, then Chairman Conyers is driving the bus on this.
Well,
maybe they're both pointing fingers at each other.
If he's driving the bus, she's setting the route.
That's right, yeah. She's telling him exactly what she wants.
Don't turn right.
That's right. Don't turn left.
Yeah, don't turn at all.
Yeah.
So, Faz, I referenced that no one is disappointed that U.S. troop losses have been reduced to the number of 11 in Iraq in July. More were killed in Afghanistan. That's a different story. But the president in White Sulphur Springs on the way to a rare August stop in Kennebunkport instead of down in Crawford gave a talk and said that we now have a degree of durability in Iraq that will allow the Pentagon to continue its plans for shorter military deployments and lead to the possibility of further U.S. troop reductions this fall. Now this is such a game that's being played because, as I referenced in my intro, this meme that the surge has worked is just being repeated unquestioned by the media at the same level that they failed to question the WMD and the Iraq 9/11 connections that were presented to us before Bush invaded Iraq. And it really troubles me fast because on the very same day that I saw a bunch of people on television assert that the surge has worked and tweak Obama for not being willing to admit it, 57 people were killed in two different incidents triggered by female suicide bombers in Iraq. And I'm sorry, that's not a durable peace. And the idea that we can distract Americans into thinking that the only metric, the only thing on the scoreboard is the number of our people who get killed in Iraq, and that that is some measure of stability, that's a crock.
I heard somebody make an apt metaphor of Iraq, and that is that it's basically a dead corpse. And it really is that our operations there over the past five years now have really just sapped the life and energy out of that country. And to say that, the violence is down is not an indicator of great success, but rather how much we've just killed the vibrancy of that community. You were mentioning 9/11. There was a hilarious moment. If it weren't hilarious, it's not really hilarious. It's really sad. But Senator Lieberman today talking about a resolution he's going to introduce in the Senate with Lindsey Graham. He said, Lindsey and I are going to introduce a resolution recognizing the strategic success of the surge, and that the surge has achieved success, quote, in the central front of the war on terror against the enemies who attacked us on 9/11.
Oh, God. He forgot the line about, we're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them over here.
I mean, it's, And so here we go all over again. I mean, now they want to claim success over the surge. They want to tie it back to 9/11. They want to declare a mission accomplished and say that the victory over there is part of – and I think it's instructive here, because the fact that the surge has reduced a certain level of violence in Iraq does not mean that we've won or succeeded, because, in fact, if, as you noted, Afghanistan, which is the primary base and the hub of those who attacked us on 9/11, that they continue to surge and are gaining momentum and feeling emboldened. And so if you were actually talking about who attacked us on 9/11 and want to declare whether we're achieving success on that front, you'd have to say that we're failing.
Yeah, it's all perception management. It's driving me crazy. We're going to take a break and return and talk about those huge oil profits being reported. And, of course, Ted Stevens is throwing a fundraiser for his defense committee, and I'm sure the oil barons will be there for him. We'll take a break and return with Faz Shakir. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 28th. You know, I usually talk about the newest listings available to keep you updated, but today I'm going to talk about the listings that have been on the market upwards of 1 year. You know, most of us are aware that if a house is overpriced, it's not going to sell quickly or perhaps ever. The properties we're going to talk about today are good properties with bad timing. They came on the market thinking one way, and I'm sure by now they're ready to say uncle. That's what this market's all about. The buyers are definitely in the driver's seat. So, first listing is in Carmel, 24936 Valley Way. This is a 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath home for $2,995,000. It's a Saroyan signature home, just meticulously restored and rebuilt to perfection. Has hand-hewn pecan walnut floors, custom sinks, top-of-the-line appliances, 6 plasma TVs, 3 fireplaces. It sits on about a third of an acre, completely fenced, has a guest house, electric gates, professional landscaping with stone patios. This house really has it all. 2,600 square feet on just about a third of an acre. So, great deal at $2,995. Let's get over to Monterey Salinas Highway at 23710 Determine Lane. We have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath for $1,250,000. This one's located on a private cul-de-sac in prestigious York Hills neighborhood. It's right near Ryan Ranch and convenient to the Laguna Seca Golf Course. It's situated on 1.4-acre parcel, adjacent to a 10-plus-acre green belt. Tranquil hill and pine forest views, expansive rear deck for entertaining, a must-see interior to appreciate fully. It's got quality appliances, granite countertops, hardwood floors. It's in the Washington Union School District, 2,543 square feet on 1.5-acre lot, a terrific value at $1,250,000. Last but not least, my value pick listing of the week is over at 38757 Palo Colorado Road. With all the fire issues, I'm guessing that at this point in time, these people are definitely ready to deal. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $797,000. The price has come down quite substantially here. You can just step off the grid into this cozy retreat set deep in the forest. This is a charming redwood home. It's ready to move into. Mature redwoods surround. Miles of hiking trails nearby in the Los Padres National Forest. You really feel here like you're at camp. 1,104 square feet on 7.5 acres. So there you have it. Any questions about any of these properties, please feel free to call me at 236-4513. You can email me at pattyross@kw.com. Or check out these and lots more listings on my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm glad you found the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm deputizing you as a vice president of marketing in your zip code. Please notify 10 people how they can listen on the radio or online. The links are at peterbcollins.com. Madonna, she called a news conference today to complain that she was left out of the John McCain slime TV spot that tried to link Barack Obama's celebrity to Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. And sorry, Madonna, your time has come and gone. Faz Shakir continues with us from the Center for American Progress, and you can get his work, The Daily Progress Report, delivered to your email inbox. Just log on to progressreport.org. So, Faz, the oil companies just keep in raking in more money. A disturbing poll here in California today shows that just over a majority, 51% now, think that we probably ought to open the offshore shelf to drilling for oil, despite the fact that 10 or 20 years would go by before any of that would really start to fill our gas tanks. And it really appears that the Republicans are getting the upper hand in this debate, despite these record profits and the gouging that we face on a daily basis at the pump. Hello, Faz?
Yep, sorry about that, Peter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been looking at the same polls, and I've been wondering why that is. And, you know, if you look deeper, there's actually another level of concern. That is that people seem to understand that that drilling offshore isn't going to provide immediate relief. They understand that the gas price might not go down a great deal. And so the question is, why are they supporting it? And I think a lot of it is coming from fear, that they don't know or understand other solutions that might exist, or they don't believe in the other solutions. So it's a tremendous opportunity and challenge for us to educate people on the potential benefits of solar, wind, and renewable energy, and start to make investments now. Because if we're not making them right now, when they're economically viable, God knows what's going to happen if we reduce the oil price per barrel down, you know, another $50 or so. Certainly nobody's going to want to do it then. So we need to take advantage of this opportunity to hopefully educate some people and try to move them.
Well, and John McCain has hardly earned the name Slick Johnny, but maybe he's all oiled up to the point now that people aren't really noticing how his positions have shifted dramatically. And you've got this graph up at thinkprogress.org today that shows that, boom, he said, okay, I'm changing my – he didn't say I'm changing my position, but he did change his position and said we're going to have to drill off the coasts of the United States. And within 3 days he goes to Texas and picks up $1 million in oil-related cash.
Yeah, he is literally the candidate who is bought and paid for by oil, and he's not unafraid of admitting that. I mean, because the politics have changed so much, and he's following the polls. He's looking at the numbers that say that the public are very supportive of offshore oil drilling, and he's caving completely and saying, "Okay, well, I'll be for that," and rake in as he's $881,000 since he flipped on offshore oil drilling from the oil companies. $881,000. Just in this past quarter, it was $1.2 million. So he's getting paid off tremendously for his flip flop.
And you know, the media doesn't really make a big deal out of that. Keith Olbermann does, but you know, you're not seeing a lot of critical reporting, and it just drives me crazy.
Don't you know that Paris Hilton and Madonna are the big stories, Peter?
It's Britney. Don't forget Madonna.
I'm sorry.
Madonna's trying to recapture it with the A-Rod thing, but it didn't quite get her into the commercial. You know,
I don't always have the facts right at my fingertips, Peter. You're there to get me.
Well, can I share something with you? When I first saw the spot, I didn't recognize Britney Spears. I do know who Paris Hilton is, but I had to ask somebody who that is.
Oh, yes.
And I, this is something I'm proud to express ignorance of. Other things we try to cover up.
Exactly.
Faz, thank you very much. I appreciate your work, and I want to direct people again to progressreport.org. Sign up and receive the email every day. Talk to you next week, Faz.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank
Bye.
You. We'll continue in a moment. Mike Lux joins us from openleft.com, and we'll talk about the Pumas, the people who say, give me Hillary or give me death.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. In their effort to give the world a good impression during the Olympic Games, the Beijing City Government's Office of Capital Spiritual Civilization Construction Commission has issued an etiquette book advising Beijingers on everything from shaking hands and how to stand and what color socks to wear. Some excerpts after this. Whatever your plans are for this summer, whether you're picnicking at the park, heading to the beach, or flying all the way across the country, you can get easy prescription refill service at any Walgreens. Walgreens has thousands of locations nationwide, many open 24 hours. And because all of their pharmacies are connected, you'll find convenient prescription service at any location. That means any Walgreens you visit is your Walgreens. To find the one nearest you, just call 1-800-WALGREENS today.
Last week on the Olympus U.S. Open Series, the greatest road trip in sports, Rafael Nadal won the Rogers Masters, his second Olympus U.S. Open Series title, and Dinara Safina won the East-West Bank Classic. This week, the men compete at the Western and Southern Financial Group Masters in Cincinnati, while the women are in Montreal at the Rogers Cup. Tune in for semifinals action Saturday at 9 p.m., and Sunday it's back-to-back men's and women's finals starting at 3 p.m., all on ESPN2. For complete TV listings, go to OlympusUSOpenSeries.com.
For the last few years, the Beijing government has been handing out booklets to 4 million households in the city as part of an overall effort to improve manners there. A ban on spitting within the city limits was put in 2006. The 11th day of each month has been put aside as a day to show more patience while standing in lines. The etiquette booklet specifies that while standing, the feet should be slightly apart or in the shape of a V or a Y. A handshake should last no more than 3 seconds. There should be no more than 3 color groups in the clothes you wear. And wearing pajamas and slippers to visit neighbors, as many elderly Beijingers like to do, is a no-no. The booklet recommends dark-colored socks and says white socks should never be worn with black leather shoes. One should not ask foreigners about their age, marital status, income, past experience, address, personal life, or religious or political beliefs. Sheng Moji, the deputy director of the Office of Capital Spiritual Civilization Construction Commission, says the campaign is working. She says, quote, "The level of civility of the whole city has improved, and a sound cultural and social environment has been assured for the success of the Beijing Olympic Games." She says you'll see more smiling faces now and notice that people are more properly and elegantly dressed. Another commission booklet says, "Spectators at games should cheer all teams, explaining that victory or loss is only temporary, whereas the impression of the culture inside a sports venue lasts forever." The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Yeah, I love it.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I just learned that when Barack Obama announces his Jeep choice, he's going to do it by text message. I suggest it'll be somebody with really fast thumbs. San Francisco today. I'll fly to Madison tomorrow. Madison, Wisconsin, the state capital there, will be originating live from the scene of the Nonstop Radio Progressive Talk Symposium. And Tom Hartman will be with me to kick off the show tomorrow. Hope you'll be joining me then. Mike Lux from Washington checks in right now. He blogs at openleft.com, and he's an active progressive in politics there in D.C. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Things are going okay for us, and I'm looking forward to a weekend in Madison with a lot of great progressives. I wanted to get your take on some people that we've been dueling with on the program recently. They call themselves PUMAs, and that stands for Party Unity My Ass. And these are hardcore Hillary Clinton loyalists. And there are varying degrees. I want to be really clear here that I don't lump them all into one category or one vote. But at their most extreme, I characterize their position as give me Hillary or give me death, because some of them are threatening to vote for John McCain. And I've had a number of conversations, most on the air, but a couple off the air with listeners from, you know, that wing, if you will, of the party. And I just wanted to get your sense, Mike, about how this may play out at the convention, and if indeed some of these PUMAs will desert the Democratic nominee this fall.
Well, you know, it would be shocking if some of them didn't. You know, it's just sort of the nature of politics. There are always a few people who feel so strongly about something that they will... they will vote even at risk of putting somebody who's crazy and against everything that, you know, they theoretically stand for at risk. And, you know, I mean, you know, we know that enough people voted for Ralph Nader in 2000 to give the election to a guy who was diametrically opposed to everything Ralph Nader ever said he wanted, or as well as... what Gore wanted. We know that Gore would have been a far superior president. We would not have gotten into this war. We would have done something about climate change. The world would be much better off. But there were people who were so, determined that they were not going to vote for Gore that they didn't do it, and that helped cost that election. So there are always people who are going to be in that category. I think it's particularly ironic this year, though, that there are women who say they're doing this because they're feminists,
mm-hmm.
and they're angry about the way women have been treated. I mean, have these women ever considered, what the consequences of putting John McCain in? I mean, the best, most pro-choice Supreme Court member is 88 years old, will be 89 years old soon.
Justice Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Justice Stevens. And the vote right now is barely 5-4 on some issues, and it's against us on others,
mm-hmm.
With Stevens on the court. I mean, the idea of putting a man who has been known to swear at his wife and call her a name I can't say on the radio in front of other people, who tells jokes about how women should enjoy being raped, which has also been documented. That they would put a man like that into the presidency and place him with the power of ending choice.
Well, and Mike, in their fantasy, they think that they can swing the election this fall. Obama loses, Clinton runs in 2012, and life is good again. But in the interim, McCain can launch another war. He certainly is in sync with the Bush administration and Israel toward Iran. He's going to gum up the economy even worse, depending on which flip or flop you believe on tax policy. And he's in the pocket of the oil companies. He's in the pocket of corporate America. He's got more lobbyists than populate Washington almost on his campaign team. And so the specter that because they're disappointed, and almost everybody's disappointed except people who were for Obama from the beginning. I was for Kucinich. I was moving toward Edwards when he quit the campaign right before the California primary. And so, I gravitated to Obama with reservations, and the FISA vote was a major setback for me. But, I will not inflict a wound on myself over my disappointment with not getting my way. And these people seem so petulant that I really find it hard when they define themselves as real Democrats.
Yeah, it is stunning. People get so worked up sometimes that they really, in my view at least, don't think clearly. And I don't know, if you call yourself a feminist and you're voting for John McCain, I think that's the ultimate definition of not thinking clearly. I mean, it's just it literally I think is insane. And Hillary Clinton's been very clear about that. She is very strongly supporting Obama and doing everything she can to help him.
Well, and the Pumas say that that's not real, that she's just reading a script and just doing what she's told. And I find that bizarre, too.
Well, that's insulting to Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and to women.
If they admire her so much, why do they insult her that way?
Well,
that's what I don't understand.
That's why the whole point of view seems childish to me. And, I think we all have to rise to a certain level of political maturity, again, citing my own disappointments with Obama on the FISA vote, which I don't think is a trivial matter. I still cannot let my anger or my disappointment on that single issue stop me from looking at the big picture.
Well, I agree with you, Peter. And I know that a lot of the Pumas just say, well, two guys talking, of course they're going to say that. I don't know about you, Peter, but I first started fighting for pro-choice politics and pro-choice issues back when I was in college.
Well, my first debate was with Phyllis Schlafly over the Equal Rights Amendment about 1973.
Well, and I'm terrified. I mean, I have nieces and great nieces. I'm terrified at the idea of them, not being able to get an abortion if they need an abortion and having to go to some, back alley doctor. I mean, the whole idea is so horrifying. I thought I wouldn't have to worry about that again, in my lifetime. But I'll be worrying about it every single day if McCain is the president.
Now, Mike Lux, one of the things in discussing the issues with these Pumas, I have said that if I were in charge of the convention, that I would permit, after the first ballot, a release of the commitments of the delegates, an open ballot after the first one. And if, for example, Obama does not clear the hurdle on the first ballot, then I'd say it's an open convention. And if Hillary pulls off a victory in the second or the 50th ballot, then I would support her in the fall. And you know she's not my first choice, Mike. But when I play out that scenario to these Pumas, and I say, that they say, okay, great, open convention? Yeah, that gives Hillary a chance. I'll go along with you there. And then I say, well, if Obama prevails, will you support the nominee in November? And then they say no. And so it's my way or the highway.
Well, I mean, that's clearly, I mean, that's what they've been saying all along. There is a great amount of irony to me here when the candidate who they profess to have such incredible loyalty to is telling them very specifically this is not what she wants, and yet they continue down the same path, and they say that she's reading the script. I mean, what does that mean? Are they accusing her of not keeping to her own values, of not doing what she thinks is right? And if so, why would they want her to be president in the first place?
Well, I agree. And they also talked about one of them, I can't think of his name right now, he's from the D.C. area, and he came on the show after having appeared on Fox News, where they announced that Obama, they showed a clip where Obama was at one of those unity events with Hillary, and he forgot to ask the crowd for money for Hillary's campaign debt. And so they stopped the music, he got the microphone back, and he kind of fumbled through a pitch for money for Hillary. So that clip's played on Fox, and then they cut to this Puma guy who then says, well, Obama, we don't need you. And they said that they've raised pledges of $10 million in a short period of time. And that strikes me as interesting, too, because they appear willing to overlook the mismanagement, the huge mismanagement of her campaign, at least from a financial perspective, if not from a strategic perspective, Mark Penn. and, you know, those issues don't seem to really percolate down to reality. She's got a debt. They want to help pay it off. But that debt is a very clear marker of major failures to manage that campaign properly.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with you there, Peter. I mean, candidates go into debt all the time, and I think it's less about management than it is about how much risk you're willing to take. And Hillary really was going hard for this thing. She was campaigning hard, and she just felt that if she was willing to loan her campaign, that much more money, she would have a shot. And I actually give her credit for that. She fought long, she fought hard, she fought tough. She made some mistakes, but everybody makes mistakes, you know, in terms of running the campaign.
All right, but the way I take risks is I play craps over at Lake Tahoe, Mike, and the casinos have never offered to wipe out my debt when I lose.
Well, but that's the nature of politics. I mean, generally winners help wipe out the loser's debt, and that's part of what happens. And I think it's good that Obama has done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with that piece of it.
All right.
I think Hillary ran a tough campaign. She knew that she would one way or another be able to pay off the debt, and she was willing to take that risk. That's okay with me. I don't have any problem with that.
All right, I got you. Mike Lux with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return, talk about the convention coming up in Denver just about 3 weeks away. And we're going to be there live, of course, with the Peter B. Collins Show. People are helping out with our expenses for Denver. You can help, too. Go to peterbcollins.com and click on the link that says you can help.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you?
Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Up for our weekend listeners on 620 KPOJ in Portland, your candidate for the U.S. Senate, Jeff Merkley, will be joining us coming up about an hour away. He's challenging incumbent Republican Gordon Smith and giving him a run for his oil money.
You're telling lies, so don't you criticize. Yeah, I got you. And that's the pain of you.
We continue now with Mike Lux, an activist in Washington. He blogs over at openleft.com, and I got the blog up right now, Mike. And first of all, the teaser that I mentioned, you've got a link here that says that the Obama campaign has said it will announce its VP choice by text message. What list do we have to get on?
You know what? That wasn't my story, so I don't even know, what the...
What the gist is, okay.
What the gist is. I'm guessing that they're doing this in order to encourage people to send their phone numbers in for the purpose of text messaging, but I haven't seen the specific announcement.
David Plouffe sent me an email the other day. If I donated $5 by yesterday, the end of the, today, Thursday, the end of the reporting period, that I could win a trip to Denver and get to meet Barack backstage at the big stadium acceptance speech on Thursday night.
I know, pretty cool.
Now, are you going to the convention?
Yes, I am. I generally go every convention, have for many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be there on Radio Row, Mike, so I want to give you your invitation right now to come over and see us.
Oh, good. I would love to do that.
And I'll be happy to get your comments there. I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fascinating convention. I'm looking forward to it very much.
Now, there's also a post top of the blog from Matt Stoller right now promoting the candidacy of Wes Clark for vice president. And I think Wes Clark is an interesting guy and someone I could live with. My calculus, though, is that he can't deliver a specific state. And one of the advantages of Governor Kaine of Virginia is he could most likely deliver a former red state. I still consider Bill Richardson viable, and he's hosting a couple of fundraisers to retire Hillary's debt. And apparently James Carville has taken back the Judas, or maybe he's ready to retire that along with some debt. What's your sense right now, Mike, of who's trending up and who's out of the picture?
Well, you know, I have my guesses like everybody else and my own set of equations, but frankly, Peter, I think anybody right now who is making guesses outside of Barack and Michelle Obama is doesn't really know very much about what's going on. Vice presidential processes are mysterious equations, and most of the rumors that are generated are from people who don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's always one of the most funny games to me, in politics is, having all these people spread all these rumors about who's at the top of the list. And the honest answer is that nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
Except, Barack Obama and, Michelle and, probably five or six other people, and that's the extent of it. And I guarantee you, none of them are actually talking.
And do you think Hillary knows her status?
I suspect that she and Barack have conversed at length about it. And honestly, I would guess that she has told him she's not interested.
Mm.
I having worked for Hillary. Once, I just never imagined her being interested in doing that, especially after being. I mean, she was basically, very near to what a traditional vice president is for 8 years already.
Right.
And by the time
don't tell Al, but yeah, you're right.
By the time that was over, she was so chomping at the bit to be on her own and in the Senate and doing her own thing and making her own decisions, I'd be very surprised if she wanted it. So my guess is she's probably said to him, I'll do it if you feel like you absolutely need me to, but I'd rather not, and I'd rather be a senator and work with you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that's just a guess, but that would be my guess as to what the dynamic is.
Mm-hmm. Mike, one of the things that I found fascinating over the last couple of weeks, Obama got obviously tremendous media coverage, 94% positive for his whirlwind trip and photo op globetrot. And I see the facts and the truth are really coming out about his cancellation of the trip to the military hospital in Germany. And I frankly buy his version of the story and not the attack that's coming from Steve Schmidt, the new campaign manager, who has toughened up these advertisements coming out of the McCain campaign. And by the way, they're trying to spend as much of that money, the windfall that they've gotten over the last couple of months, including over $1 million in oil-related contributions,
yeah,
because they have to spend all that before the end of their convention,
yeah,
and then go into the public finance mode in the fall. So they do have money, and still they're not actually putting it in media dollars behind these commercials. They produce the commercials, release them to O'Reilly and Matthews, who play them to death, and then they actually have a token buy, five times on a cable system in South Carolina. But they are effective, and my question to you is, how do you view the media battles that are underway and the whisper campaign about Obama's refusal to embrace the media acceptance that the surge has worked?
Well, I think in this day and age, with the power of the internet, the whisper campaigns are actually quite a bit more dangerous to Obama than anything going on the air. Fewer and fewer people are watching TV. The Obama campaign quickly is able to respond with its own ad or its own counterattack anytime they put a nasty ad up. So Personally, I worry less about the ad wars than I do about the whisper campaigns, which I think are incredibly effective these days. People have figured out how to spread this stuff, make it go viral, make people take it seriously, and so you can really see the effect of that. Again, it's not like the Obama people are naive or unaware about how to use the internet to get their message across, and so they'll be doing that. But I do worry about the whisper campaigns.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you very much. It's always great to talk with you, and I will see you in Denver. And come on down to Radio Row, and we'll talk with you there.
I definitely will. I'm looking forward to it, Peter.
Real good. Mike Lux, and check out the blog openleft.com. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a podcast available right after the show. Just grab the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. And Joshua Emerson Smith is on duty today taking your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Not so bad report on the economy.
Stronger than expected, but not strong enough. I'm Peter Mayer in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia.
Sweeping job and wage cuts in California.
Today, I'm exercising my executive authority to avoid a full-blown cash crisis.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In the second quarter, at the height of our fears about recession, the economy grew at an annual rate of 1.9%. That number from the Commerce Department is weak, but at least not negative. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has the administration's view.
Stronger than expected, but not strong enough. That's President Bush's reaction to the latest economic numbers.
I believe the foundations of this economy are strong. I think with sound policies and the ingenuity of the American people, we're going to emerge better and stronger.
The president told a coal industry group $92 billion in stimulus package rebate checks had a positive impact. But with that boost all but over, some economists expect a downturn. With just over 3 months until Election Day, the administration insists the economy is strong enough to keep growing.
Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan thinks we might still be pushed into recession by the slowing global economy. He said today we're right on the brink. Joseph Livornia is chief U.S. economist for Deutsche Bank Securities.
The economy is dealing with a variety of shocks, not the least of which has been a very nasty financial crisis, and we think the economy will continue to experience the ill effects of this crisis, which, while getting a bit better, still is playing out in a very uneven form.
In California, with Republicans and Democrats deadlocked on a new budget, Governor Schwarzenegger is eliminating thousands of part-time and temporary jobs and putting 200,000 state employees on minimum wage.
I have a responsibility to make sure that our state has enough money to pay its bills. The executive order that I will sign here today will free up money to help cover the state's costs.
But workers like nurse evaluator Kathleen Phillips say they won't show up for $6.55 an hour.
I won't be able to work. I won't be able to go to work because I won't be able to afford to buy gasoline to put in my car.
The budget is a month overdue. Now this.
All right, on three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors.
Oh. I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Get 10% off appliances of $3.99 or more at the Home Depot. Pick from brands like GE, Maytag, and LG, including Energy Star appliances that save money on your energy bill. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through August 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking.
A tantalizing clue in the search for life on Mars. NASA's Phoenix spacecraft, which landed near the planet's North Pole 2 months ago, has found ice, melted it down, and analyzed the water.
We've now finally touched it and tasted. I'd like to say, from my standpoint, it tastes very fine.
William Boynton of the University of Arizona is a scientist working on the project. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood on the meaning of this discovery.
They've confirmed the presence of water ice on Mars. If they can find signs of organic compounds, these are the compounds that are necessary, on Earth at least, for life to evolve, you have a potential habitat on Mars, either in the distant past or even currently, that could support some form of life.
Exciting news on the energy front. MIT professor Daniel Nocera has developed a catalyst to store solar energy.
When you feed the electricity from the solar panel to this catalyst, it acts on water and then it splits it to hydrogen and oxygen,
which can be used by fuel cells to generate electricity. Nocera says solar could really take off as an alternative energy source if homeowners were able to store electricity for use when the sun isn't shining. A court ruling today in a dispute between Congress and the executive branch.
It's an important battle over executive privilege, and the first round went decisively to Congress. Federal Judge John Bates dismissed President Bush's claim that his staff is immune from congressional subpoenas and ruled those subpoenaed to testify about political interference at the Justice Department have to do that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
That is very good news for anyone who believes in the Constitution of the United States, the separation of powers, and a system of checks and balances.
Democrats say they'll set new hearings for Karl Rove, Josh Bolton, and Harriet Myers, but the administration is likely to appeal. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A small chartered jet crashed near the airport in Owatonna, Minnesota today, killing at least 8 people. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to get more for less, because right now at the Home Depot End of Season Clearance Event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store, including our wide selection of interior and exterior lighting, programmable thermostats, bath faucets, and more. All your favorite brands and all for less. Right now, save 25% or more on select items at the Home Depot End of Season Clearance Event. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the women's softball team did America proud by pulling through for gold. You, on the other hand, somehow pulled a tricep after trying some weird new swing at the batting cages. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Scott Dick joins me this hour to talk military and veterans issues on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I can't take it no more.
Live from the left coast.
I can't take it no more. 69 after 30 that I want. I can't take it no more. You know you lied about the casualty. You know you lied about the WFD. You know you lied about the detainees. I know, but this wild. Stop talking about saving the cause. You keep on beating that old dead horse. You know you lied about how we went to war. I can't take it no more.
President Bush declared today as he visited the Greenbrier Resort at White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, that gains in Iraq had reached a degree of durability, allowing the Pentagon to continue its plans for shorter military deployments and leading to the possibility of further U.S. troop reductions this fall. That's the official spin from the Washington Post. We'll get reaction to this and much more this hour from Scott Dick. He's our regular contributor on military matters, and he served in the Marine Corps, then retired from the Army at the rank of major, and he's now a major progressive talk show host who follows me every evening on our flagship radio station in Monterey, California, KRXA 540. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today, and you?
Oh, good.
Yeah? Good.
There's some things that are disturbing out there. We'll talk about some of that.
Well, let's start with Bush, because this is spin of a remarkable order. And as I said earlier in the program today, like many Americans, I am relieved and if delighted is the right term, that our casualties have been reduced. And the president says we're now in our third consecutive month with reduced violence levels holding steady. Now, we have to parse this very carefully because, yes, only 11 soldiers in U.S. uniforms died in Iraq in the month of July. And again, I take no pleasure in, seeing things get worse. And, you know, at least from the American perspective, that is progress. But the progress on the ground does not match the scoreboard that only reflects American fatalities, Scott.
Well, not only that, Peter, but they can crow about the surge all they want to. But I've said, you and I have talked about this before, Peter, that it was a tactical reinforcement. And there was a lot of other pointers to the fact that perhaps there's going to be some movement. The Anbar Awakening was the big one. And while they were doing the surge, those five brigades could have really helped out in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, there's so many facets to this. One is that John McCain is trying to use the surge as a cudgel to smack Barack Obama. And we have to keep reminding people that the surge that McCain advocated was to add more than 100,000 additional troops, troops, by the way, that were not available, but that was his scheme and his dream. And then when Bush put in the range of 30 to 35,000, McCain accepted that as his idea for the surge. And now, of course, when pressed, he has had to redefine his definition of what the surge was, and his definition started months before the actual escalation of U.S. troop presence in Iraq. But now we hear the president spinning and the media unquestionably stenographically delivering it to us. Here's again from the Washington Post. Bush noted that the Pentagon has shortened troop deployments to Iraq from 15 months to 12 months to, quote, relieve the burden on our forces and will make life easier for our wonderful military families, end quote. The shortened deployment schedule does not apply to troops already in Iraq, but only those who are headed there. And we knew that. This was announced earlier this year. But the spin I think that the White House is putting out is being embraced fully by the media, again, with this frame that the surge has worked and no questions need be asked. And people like Obama, who offer a more complex assessment of the validity of the surge, are ridiculed as if they're in some form of denial.
Well, it's easy for them to be stenographers. It's much more difficult for them to actually apply some brain cells to the analysis. It's easier just to regurgitate right-wing talking points than it is to perhaps identify with the fact that maybe the media could say, well, John McCain, could you admit that you were dead wrong about attacking a country that did us no harm and was not involved in 9-1-1? Maybe we could start with those admissions. Could President Bush admit that he was dead wrong, that attacking Iraq is not the central front on the war on terror? It created a civil war and a lot of people died. Maybe we could start with some admissions there. But in the middle of the game, to pick one little this tactical reinforcement, it worked. Well, there's so many other factors. They got their cause and effect bass backwards, and the Obama campaign is right by not saying, okay, the surge worked, but what? See, that's what they're getting. They're trying to get him to admit to something that is Alice in Wonderland, down the rabbit hole.
That is a very good way to characterize it. Now, here's more Bush spin coming through the Washington Post without any filter, without any challenge. Bush also focused on what he described as significant strides in the capability of Iraqi security forces, pointing to Iraqi-led military operations earlier this year against Shiite extremist groups in Amara, Basra, and Sadr City. Now, this is a rewrite of recent history. Because you and I know, Scott, because we talked about it at the time, when Field Marshal Maliki dispatched himself to Basra to oversee this crackdown on the Mahdi army, the Muqtada al-Sadr forces, what was it, 1,500 Iraqi troops that laid down their arms and said, hey, I'm going over there. I'm not going to shoot those people.
Between 1,500 and 2,500 deserted.
Yeah.
Well, see, Peter, I was going to stop you when you said the first two sentences and say, yeah, so what? The Iraqis are taking over for security. So what? They're about 3 years behind. Next.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to feed the Afghans. The Bush administration, you said that was going to happen in 2006. So this is 2008, and it's a couple of hundred, maybe 1,000 extra American casualties and lots of billions of dollars down the toilet. So you're calling this a success? See, this problem with the media, they're not really looking at it. They're not holding Bush accountable. If we're in a football game here, they keep moving the goalposts. We get to the goalpost and they say, well, we're just going to move it another 10 yards and another 10 yards and another 10 yards. And it's really amazing.
Well, and in the only mildly critical sentence in this article written by Dan Egan of the Washington Post, the president's message Thursday morning underscored the unusual rhetorical balancing act that the White House has been attempting in recent weeks.
Excuse me? He wrote that crap?
On the one hand, praising lower levels of violence as vindication of its surge, while also warning that conditions in Iraq could worsen dramatically if forces are drawn down too quickly. So we're succeeding, but we can't leave, and we can't leave because that might stop us from succeeding.
Peter, if we went back to LexisNexis search in 2006, you can hear exactly the same crap coming out of the Bush administration. Exactly. We've talked about this. They're going to declare victory when they get ready, and they're going to take the troops out. They need to get those five brigades rested and re-equipped and then send them to Afghanistan. There's not going to be any rest for anyone, and we just need to get out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in us being there. We shouldn't have attacked them in the first place. All this is a sideshow to divert attention away from the Bush legacy in an attempt to whitewash the Bush legacy and his policies and make it more palatable for a second-rate senator to become a presidential contender.
Mm-hmm.
That would be John McCain.
Right. Scott Dix with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's take a call, and you can join us anytime this hour at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We've got, it's the fourth one over there, Josh. Just bring that up, and we'll hear Dave in Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. And Scott, I have to ask this. How do they keep using this term surge like it was some new brilliant strategy they came up with? How do we let them get away with using the term surge like it was some brilliant new strategy? This was nothing but more of the same. Let's throw in a few more brigades, and let's do what we've been doing all along, and let's call it some big creative new thing. Surge. Don't even use the word.
Well, Dave, that's the problem. Nobody understands the military enough to know that it wasn't a strategy. Any of those, Petraeus knows better. They all know better. Anybody who studied it knows it's not a strategy. It was a tactical reinforcement. The real strategy switch was including the Sunnis, and that brigade commander who started it back in 06 should get all the credit. Of course, it's Fred Kagan and retired General Keane and Petraeus and Bush and McCain. None of them have identified or could identify, I think, the real causes of this entire situation. Well, they don't want to. The fact is, we attacked a country that did us no harm. And why we can't just leave, it beats me. Except I think, Peter, the answer is a three-letter word, oil.
Well, that's clearly a part of it, and I think this will be a good time to take our break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the developments in the bilateral talks between the U.S. and Iraq, as we've discussed the so-called Status of Forces Agreements, or SOFA, kind of reduced to a love seat. And we'll talk about that with Scott Dick as we continue. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation. A little bit later, we're going to talk about some veterans' issues, including post-traumatic stress disorder, so join us if you have a question or comment. It's 888-5 Peter B, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero & Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero & Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero & Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. Starting in Watsonville, first reports of a problem 129 at Murphy Crossing Road. It's a large grass fire that's spreading up the hillside. Fire department's on the way. 101 southbound after Arroyo Seco Road in Soledad. Injury crash. Just getting first reports. A motorcycle may be down. We don't know if any lanes are blocked. Emergency crews on the way. Northbound Highway 17 at Laurel Curve in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Watch out for a log. That's in the right-hand lane. And Santa Cruz County Highway 1 in both directions between DeMeo Lane and Scaroni Road. Everything's been reduced to one lane. They're doing repaving work out there until 5:30. They have one-way traffic control in effect. Expect delays there. And this is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. FlexYourPower.org reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
All right. One, two.
Those who start wars never fight them.
those who fight wars. I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws,
it's the Peter B. Collins Show, Michael Franti and Spearhead. That's a great song from Yell Fire. It's called Bring 'Em Home. It's time to bring home America's troops. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we continue with Scott Dick. And by the way, Josh is training on the board today, because tomorrow I will be live from Madison, Wisconsin, the scene of the Progressive Radio Conference, the Nonstop Radio Symposium. And Tom Hartman will lead off our show, so I hope you'll be able to join us then. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, and Eric in Alabama joins us on the phone at 888-5-PETER-B. Eric, how you doing today? Hello, Eric? Oh, bring up the fader there, Josh, number four. There you go.
Hello?
Hi, Eric. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What was your comment today?
I caught this on a channel I was listening to. I've never heard your show before, but I just caught whatever guest you got on there saying that McCain was a second-rate senator.
Yeah, I said it, and I stand by that remark. Last 2 years, he's missed every conference hearing on Afghanistan. He voted against, according to the disabled American veterans. He's got a 20% rating. He doesn't know the country that hasn't existed for 15 years, doesn't exist anymore, Czechoslovakia, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we could go through and name things that Obama's done, too.
Well, but let's talk about McCain. That was the thrust of the comment, and that's what apparently you took exception to.
I just think that's an asinine statement. Maybe
nope.
He's made some mistakes. Name me a senator that hasn't.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Most senators don't claim to be a foreign policy, national security policy expert, and he said at least 8 times over the last 2 months, congratulations to the country of Czechoslovakia. It hasn't existed since 1993. If you're going to call yourself a foreign policy expert, maybe you should know some of the countries that we're going to work with.
Well, okay. You got all your facts in front of you. I still think it's an asinine statement.
Now, why do you say that, Eric?
Well,
the facts just don't matter, I guess. The facts, Eric, do the facts not matter to you?
No, I don't have facts about that, about McCain. I thought it was an asinine statement. I wanted to say so.
Well, you said that 3 times, but you're not really backing it up. Why do you think McCain is a first-rate senator if you take exception to calling him a second-rate senator? Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think I just disagree with it. I don't have all kinds of facts. We go back to Vietnam and what he did there, and he's been a great senator, and he's done.
Eric, wait a minute.
5 years ago.
You just took a leap from Vietnam to he's a great senator. Now, hold on a minute here. John McCain has been in the Senate for more than 20 years. He was not a great senator when he teamed up with Charlie Keating and tried to cut special deals for him when his wife was in an investment, a shopping center investment, with Charlie Keating in Phoenix. So how can you make the statement just blithely that, he was tortured as a prisoner in Hanoi and he's a great senator? Those are not connected.
No.
Well, I already told you I don't have facts in front of me, okay? Probably I should have got on the internet and pulled up a bunch of facts. I just think calling him a second-rate senator because he's made some mistakes is all right.
Yeah, but it's not just because he's made some mistakes. If you don't go to your own committee, how can you be a foreign policy expert? How can you call yourself a foreign policy expert? If you don't know the difference between Sunni and Shia, if you don't know if you can't articulate the fact that we attacked a country that did us no harm, that being Iraq.
Well, we shouldn't have attacked
and that
Iraq.
The
I don't
is
agree
not
with
a strategy,
that. I mean,
it's a tactical reinforcement.
Hold on, Scott.
If we pulled
Scott,
out of Iraq, now we're going to cause more problems than we would if we hadn't attacked them.
Well, so you think we should just stay there because pulling out could cause too many problems. And so $12 billion a month and even 11 American soldiers, that's worth it to you?
I mean, that's the same argument they used in pulling out of Vietnam, too.
Well, but they're pretty different. And I'm not really interested in replaying Vietnam because that is not an active argument. We are in Iraq, and there's an open debate about what we should do. And I believe we should get our troops out on the plan that Obama has articulated, which would take about 16 months and would get most combat troops out by the end of 2009. In fact, I'd like to see it happen faster, but I am content that he has a plan to do something and not simply maintain the Bush status quo, which is what McCain is arguing.
Bush just said he's going to start decreasing deployment of the troops.
You know what he said?
Yesterday.
What he said is that he is going to shorten the length of tours for troops that start serving there as of August 2008. It's a bit of sleight of hand there, Eric. He's misleading you and trying to get you to hear the rosy side of what he's saying.
And maybe Peter, Eric's not familiar with
tomorrow.
August
2008 is tomorrow.
Right. I understand that. I have a calendar right here.
All right. Well, he said it yesterday. I mean,
so what? Eric doesn't know that also between 8,000 to 10,000 American troops being held against their will due to stop-loss policies. We've been fighting this for years, and what does the Bush administration say? All our troops are volunteers, except for the 10,000 that are being held against their will. I guess that's okay.
Eric, I got to run to a break here. I want to thank you for calling, and I don't know how you found us. I don't know how you found us, but I'm glad you did. Nice to hear from you. Eric in Alabama. We'll continue with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll talk about the negotiations between Washington and Baghdad over the continuation of U.S. presence, the occupation of Iraq. You're welcome to call in from Alabama, Oregon, or anywhere else. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's time once again to fill in the blanks. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Fill in the blanks, the feature where I let ordinary people just like you take over today's commentary simply by filling in the
blanks.
Right, today's topic, the controversy of the campaign for president. Barack Obama has now accused Republicans of being so desperate to hang on to the White House that they will use
scare tactics.
He says they are calling attention to the fact that he has a funny
name
and that he doesn't look like all those presidents on the
dollar bills.
The implication being that McCain is going to play the
race card.
Right. But these accusations are, of course,
baseless
because, in fact, all that McCain is trying to point out is that unlike other presidents on U.S. currency, Barack Obama is
clean shaven
and has
a decent haircut.
Right. Whereas Washington and Lincoln
were major slobs.
Right. As for the funny name, the McCain people just want to point out that if Obama does become president, it would mean that someday we'd have to name an airport
Jesus International.
Right. And so the McCain campaign is fighting back with a new commercial accusing Barack Obama of being a
celebrity
and implying that his Secretary of State would be
Paris Hilton
and that he would pick Britney Spears as
Vice President of Rehab.
The McCain campaign is apparently feeling
desperate
after hearing the news that Barack Obama just got a major endorsement from a figure guaranteed to help him in the heartland, that being
ludicrous.
Here he is.
Get off your ass, black people. Time to get out and vote. Paint the White House black.
Yes, I think that guarantees that Obama will have the heartland pretty much
locked up.
Right. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's By Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's By Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at friartucksrestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes into the hour. Scott Dick is with me, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Heads up for our weekend listeners on 620 KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. Coming up next hour, we're going to lead off with Jeff Merkley. He is currently the Speaker of the Oregon House, the lower house of the legislature, and he is the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate against Gordon Smith this fall. We're going to find out a little bit about him and what his positions are. That'll be coming up just about a half an hour away. We continue with Scott Dick on military and veterans matters, and we're joined by a guy who frequently emails me, and I think this is the first time he's called or the first time in a long time. It's Larry D. in Costa Rica. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Peter V.
Thanks for favoring us with a phone call today.
Well, I have to start doing these emails at some point, and I wanted to call last week now that we have better internet access to ask Scott about, I read him. A chapter in a book recently about McCain in 2000, and I supported him back then, and it was really sad, you know, sort of reading the comparison between then and now, and I was quite upset last week to find out that he's even voting against the veterans now. But I wanted to see if there was anything left of the McCain that was, I think, trying to push things in a different way when he was running against Bush in 2000, and is there anything of the old McCain left in the way he is now, or is he pretty much
about the only
flip-flopped or abandoned everything, including his support of the veterans?
Well, Larry, about the only thing that is consistent is that his wife is still sitting on over $100 million in a Budweiser fortune.
Right, so that's Peter, I guess affects what he's doing, but is there any positive thing that you can say from either a progressive perspective or, you know, I used to think he was trying to reform Congress somewhat and things like that. I never supported the military part other than I always believe in supporting the veterans, even though I'm very much anti-war.
All right, let's get a comment from Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Well,
Peter, on Veterans Affairs, he's been consistent. He has voted against veterans' interests and veterans' funding. If you look at any of the reports, disabled veterans, as I said, he has a 20% as a senator, and Obama has an 80%. Let's look at energy policy. Before, he was against coastal drilling. And since he became, he was against coastal drilling. Since he's become for coastal drilling, he's received $881,000 from the oil companies. He used to be against torture, but we know in February he voted against the torture amendment. In other words, he voted for torture by allowing the CIA to torture people outside of the field manual on interrogation techniques, and that includes waterboarding. So I can't think of Veterans Affairs, Military Affairs. He doesn't have a clue what's going on in Europe. The economy, he doesn't know if, you know, first he said he was going to delete all earmarks, and then he found out that things like funding for Israel is an earmark, and funding for some programs that we can't live without, they're earmarks, and so then he backed off of that. He said he wasn't going to raise taxes, and then the other day he said, well, Social Security, we may have to, you know, raise the limit on Social Security payments, and then people, Grover Norquist, can say, yeah, you can't do that. So,
well, you know, Scott, just in the last 2 weeks, he's been all over the place on tax policy, and they put a seven-year-old girl up to asking him a question at a recent town hall meeting, will you raise my taxes? And he said no. And that was just 48 hours after he had told Stephanopoulos that everything is on the table.
Right. He's pandering to the lowest common denominator, and the caller from Alabama is so egregiously ignorant. I was going to say uninformed, but this is ignorant. The only thing that he can reflect on, it's a reflexive action, is to say, well, look what McCain did in Vietnam. That makes him an outstanding senator. What a bunch of hogwash. Those two are so not related whatsoever. He has been absent from the Senate. He hasn't voted since April, and even then he only voted for a couple days. All of 2008, he's voted in the Senate probably a dozen times. It's disgusting. It's despicable. And he's still drawing a paycheck from the U.S. Senate, Peter.
Well, and plus his disability payment from the military. And, Larry, I think Scott did an excellent job there. I would only add his flipping, flopping around about the religious right. He called them agents of intolerance when Bush was
right.
using
oh, yeah.
them effectively
was
against him in 2000.
That was one of the saddest parts, or when they really took him on in South Carolina and had kind of destroyed his campaign. I guess he learned I don't know what lesson he learned, but I guess there isn't any. The people who say that if you supported McCain in 2000, he's not the same guy, there really isn't hardly anything that goes against that view.
I think
as far as you're concerned, anyway.
That would be my position, and
yep.
I think Scott agrees.
Well, we got TV now, so we're avoiding Fox News, but we're trying to.
Larry, give us a quick weather report from Costa Rica. And are you on the Pacific or the Atlantic side?
No, we're on the Pacific side, and we're having our usual. They're calling it the green season now, but we're having our usual rain. We have had a couple of sunsets, which is a little unusual for this time of year. But we're every tropical storm we get.
Yeah, you do. Well, I'm really glad you called today. Give my best to Janet. I love your emails. Keep them coming.
Okay.
And
I'm ready to go silent for a while because I listened to Tom Hartman yesterday about them taking off tens of thousands of black and Hispanics, you know, in these swing states. And I wanted to kill. I just get so upset that I have to. I don't know what, but anyway.
Well, I hope this was a little therapy for you. Call us again.
Right. Well,
and
I wanted to call last week, and I thought, okay, I'm going to call this week and just see if there is anything. I'm not supporting what that other caller said, even though, you know, I think what he's talking about respect for the office or something, and maybe that.
Yeah, but it doesn't mask his ignorance. Scott was correct about that.
All right. Hey, well, thanks, Ron. Keep it up. See you later.
Muchas gracias and mucho gusto, mi amigo.
Okay.
There are plenty of other mediocre senators who are drawing a paycheck and not doing the country's business. John McCain has not been in the Senate to vote, even for bills that he didn't even vote for or against the new GI Bill. Just could not get himself, even though his wife has a private jet, could not get himself to the Senate to vote for that bill or against it.
Yeah. Scott Dix with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call from Costa Rica, can't you see, or anywhere else you're listening. We do have a far-flung audience, and I get emails from Japan and Australia and England, and I'm delighted that people have found our program on the World Wide Web, the internets that John McCain is just trying to master. Scott, I want to turn now to what I call the love seat, and that is the scaled-back agreements that are being negotiated between the U.S. and Baghdad, and I call it a love seat because the term would be strategic, status of forces agreement that stands for SOFA, but we're not going to get a full status of forces agreement here, and it appears that Bush is willing to accept a much more modest set of agreements, and the New York Times describes it today basically in three parts. A strategic framework agreement, which generally lays out the future relationship between the U.S. and Iraq. A protocol agreement that includes rules governing American troops in Iraq. It would authorize the continued presence of American troops and give them authority to conduct operations, but only with the permission of the Iraqis. There's also an immunity section for U.S. forces, and that has been a source of controversy. Not sure of the current status of that. And also, the agreement is not clear about how contractors would be dealt with, and the Times makes the distinction between the armed mercenaries and those who are there as translators, food service workers. Many of them are non-Americans. And then the third section would be an appendix that would describe the administrative mechanism for authorizing American operations. There would be a joint Iraqi and American committee in each province that would authorize operations. Now, this in itself appears to be a nightmare, because trying to coordinate maneuvers with the Iraqis when we have a shared power structure, that seems the kind of thing that the U.S. has always avoided, having American forces report to commanders of other flags.
Well, that's crazy. I've never heard of anything like that, and that very well could just be Bush trying to tie the hands of the next president. That seems very funny to me that anybody at all would settle for having security and dwarf combat operations conducted by a committee, a joint committee. Oh, that's brilliant. Just brilliant. So when you get an actionable intelligence and you bring it to your Iraqi counterparts, then, you know, what do you do with it when they say, oh, no? Or what do you do when you feed intelligence, actionable intelligence, to Iraqi counterparts and suddenly the target goes away?
Right. Yeah.
So the status of force agreement, you know, Bush tried to incorporate the whole occupation of Iraq under the status of force agreement, which gave him basically unlimited power, and the Iraqis, all they had to do was do an internet search to see what a sofa looked like, and they said no, and they want a timetable. Al-Sistani said there will be a timetable if we have a sofa, and the contractors, there's some word out there on the street that contracting will go away. If they don't have blanket immunity, they'll stop contracting in Iraq. And somebody said, there's way too much money for that. So I think that a blanket immunity for any contractor, whether he is a food service worker or a private security contractor, they don't deserve it. Troops don't have blanket immunity when they're acting under a sofa. They can be arrested by the host nation and prosecuted.
Right.
So it's a mess. They wanted to accomplish something they couldn't possibly accomplish under the SOFA umbrella, and now they're going to have two or three, four different kinds of things, and they're going to go from there. It's just weird.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you blurted out earlier in the hour that this is really about oil. And, you know, it's clear that the U.S. is going to cut some sort of an agreement with the Maliki government. But it really remains to be seen how that translates into actual operations and the ability to draw down American forces. And I think we also have to acknowledge that whatever occurs here is temporary, that a new president, hopefully not McCain in January, would renegotiate this or just rip it up and say, we're proposing new terms.
Yeah, that's, you know, you could do that, but it's going to be a lag time for the new president to get his feet on the ground. I don't think the SOFA agreement in Iraq is going to be a top issue for him, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it could hurt the troops. This is the kind of thing that Bush could leave, not only with a $600 billion deficit, but an instrument that could actually hurt the troops. I couldn't imagine these bilateral security committees in each province.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Josh is on the board. You're doing pretty well this hour, Josh. You're really getting it. And lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as we continue, we're going to talk about an interesting story, some research into brain scans that show the impact of post-traumatic stress disorder. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting in the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 at Laurel Curve. We've had reports of a large log car swerving to avoid that in the right-hand lane. Soledad, South 101 at Front Street. Motorcycle reportedly down. It looks like no injuries. CHP should be on the scene now, getting that moved out of your way. 129 just east of Murphy Crossing Road in Watsonville. A fire spreading up the hillside. Fire department should be out there now. They are shutting down the intersection of Murphy Crossing and Rogie, so definitely expect delays. And some road work going on Santa Cruz County. Highway 1 in both directions between DeMayo Lane and Scaroni Road. It's been reduced to one lane out there. They're doing repaving work until 5:30. One-way traffic control in effect, so expect delays there. This is brought to you by United Rentals. With United Rentals, you're never alone, thanks to a 24-hour customer car center that's always there for you. To learn more, call 800-UR-RENTS. United Rentals, consider it done. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Scott Dick, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. And if you want to find out more about him or connect with his radio show, the website is scottdickshow.com. That's scottdickshow.com. 9 minutes in front of the hour. And, Scott, I want to direct people to the website of the San Francisco Chronicle. This past Sunday, they published a front-page story that I think is fascinating and is related to the interests that many of our listeners have in the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder of returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. And we have talked about these issues in the past. Some of the breakthroughs that seem to be very close include the kind of 3D imaging that is now possible to take pictures of the brain. And they've identified that a certain part of the brain, the hypothalamus, actually changes colors in the imaging that we're now able to do with medical technology.
Well, actually, it's the hippocampus, which is in a different place. But
thank you. I didn't have that in front of me, and my anatomy is a little weak. My knowledge of anatomy and my anatomy.
I was going to say, you're sitting down, right?
So, the hippocampus, thank you.
This is a very important breakthrough, because then you have a way to check people and really see if they could be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. They also, I think, here it even says that this psychological disorder will haunt an estimated 30% of veterans. I've always said, Peter, you've heard me just describe it as brain injury, not mental injury, mm-hmm. or mental injury instead of mental disorder, because that's what it is a result of, is severe trauma. And to me, that's not a disorder. That's a physical response, and that's just me. I'm, you know, I'm no doctor or psychologist, but it just seems more fair to describe this as a mental injury than some kind of mental disorder.
Well, I think that's very important, because we do know that much of this is caused by what's now known as traumatic brain injury, TBI, and that with the widespread use of these explosive devices that we call IEDs, and the enhanced body armor and other protections that we've given our troops, that this combination produces a kind of new lethality, which is that there are traumas to the head that cause physical injuries to the brain that then come out symptomatically as erratic behavior or inability to think clearly, depression, other symptoms that surface from people who are battling PTSD.
We know that even minor injury repeated over time produces things like shaken baby syndrome. Muhammad Ali he does not have Parkinson's. He has pseudo-Parkinson's as a result of multiple impacts to the head. Those are the kinds of things that when you first look at somebody, they look perfectly okay, and that's the problem with our soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, is they've been blown up, and they walk away from it. But within days or weeks or maybe even months, the symptoms start to show themselves as a reduced mental acuity, and it's you can't measure that. I mean, how do you measure? I mean, IQ is one thing. How do you measure it before and after? You know, you've been sat on an IED. I was going to say rocketed like a rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those kind of things where if they could figure out a biological test versus a psychological test for PTSD, you know, the country, I think, will be able to treat our veterans so much better. And I mean physically, not just.
Yeah,
socially.
I agree. And if people want to find out more about this, go to the website sfgate.com, sfgate.com. That's the website of the San Francisco Chronicle. And in the search window, just enter PTSD, and this is the first article that will pop up. And what's interesting here is there are color photographs that came with the newspaper. I'm not actually seeing them on the web page that I'm looking at right now. But what it showed is that the damaged hippocampus shows up as yellow, and that is a depiction of what they call the losing some gray matter in the brain and a hardening of the hippocampus. And the healthier portions are red swatches that are marked by hyperfusion, which is increased blood flow in the prefrontal cortex.
That's a 5 to 10% reduction in gray matter, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make a joke, but yes.
That would be in poor taste, and then we'd have to do something about it.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm very pleased to see that this research is underway. I think it's critical and very timely. Some of it is occurring at the Veterans Administration in San Francisco, and there are four other campuses where the research is underway. And, after all the bad news that we have had to relay about Walter Reed and about the way that people have been intentionally misdiagnosed so that the military or the Veterans Administration doesn't have to give them proper treatment. This is good news in a bad vein, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but Peter, there's also some bad news. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's reported today that according to Jane Harmon, who's been doing investigations on this, the rate of sexual assault, not harassment, in the military is that 4 in 10 women, 4 in 10, 41% of the female veterans seen here say they were victims of sexual assault while serving in the military. And it says you have a much better chance of being raped by a colleague than killed in combat. It's amazing. And I also would ask people to take a look at this. This is on CNN. It's sexual assault in military, jaw-dropping. And it is jaw-dropping, and it's a disgrace, and I don't know what we're going to do about it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that, in all these things, what we need is full disclosure, because the more that things are covered up or people are prevented from speaking out about crimes, and that is a crime, that have been committed under the color of uniform or the color of authority, it just permits it to continue. And, if we're going to have men and women serving in active duty in combat zones, we have to address these issues, and we can't just cover them up and blame victims for it.
No, and it's going to take a cultural redo in the military. They had a hearing, and of course, the top official on sexual abuse was told not to show up by one of the undersecretaries for personnel. So there's a flap going on between Congress and the Pentagon, and they want to know what they're trying to hide, and the Pentagon is trying to, they're trying to avoid receiving incoming fire, but they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I don't know why they're not doing full disclosure. You would think that they would pull all the stops. It's tough enough. Maybe it's a recruiting issue for them. I don't know. Women are very important to today's military. They hold so many jobs. They have so many key positions. They have much higher intelligence scores than the boys do. They have jobs that we can't live without them. So taking them out of the military is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get this squared away, and they need to get it squared away now.
Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll do it again next week, and I appreciate your contributions.
You're welcome, Peter. Anytime.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to return after the top of the hour with Jeff Merkley. And for our listeners in Coos Bay and Portland, he is, of course, the Speaker of the House, of Representatives in Oregon, and he is the Democratic candidate to face off against Gordon Brown this November for the United States Senate seat. I'm looking forward to talking with him. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's too early to say we dodged the bullet of recession, but Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says the economic stimulus checks certainly helped.
The stimulus plan has supported the U.S. economy during this difficult period.
The Commerce Department says the economy grew at an annual rate of 1.9% in the second quarter, and Paulson, speaking in Washington today, predicted it will continue to grow moderately for the rest of the year. In California, where the state budget is a month overdue, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has announced severe measures.
Our state faces a looming cash crisis. The situation leaves me with no easy choices, only choices with consequences. Consequences that will have a direct impact on California families.
He's eliminating thousands of state jobs and putting 200,000 state workers on minimum wage. California faces a $15 billion deficit, and lawmakers are divided on how to deal with it. Schwarzenegger's fellow Republicans reject tax increases. They want a spending cap. Democrats want new taxes on corporations and wealthy individuals. Cell phone use during airline flights is banned, and a House panel voted today to keep it that way.
The last thing we need is people sitting six across jammed into the back of a 737 on a five-hour flight from Seattle to Washington, D.C., screaming on cell phones, causing people to get into arguments and disputes.
Oregon Democrat Peter DeFazio is sponsoring a bill that would allow other forms of communication, texting, emails, and so forth, but no talking. President Bush announced this morning that the situation in Iraq is so much better that combat tours will be cut back from 15 months to 12. And Defense Secretary Robert Gates hints that the number of U.S. troops in Iraq will be reduced further.
I personally believe that there is a real possibility of some additional drawdowns as we look forward. Well, I'll leave it to General Petraeus to make recommendations in terms of what the sequencing and the timing would be.
The president warned that the progress is still reversible. Indicted earlier this week, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens appeared in court today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Stevens let his lawyer do all the talking, entering a not guilty plea and saying Stevens wanted to clear his name before the November election because he still plans to run again. The judge agreed to a quick trial date in late September. He also agreed to hold a hearing next month on Stevens' request to move the trial to Alaska. The senator was freed without bail but had to surrender his passport. Stevens is charged with failing to report more than $250,000 in gifts from an Alaskan oil firm whose executives have pled guilty to paying bribes to other Alaska politicians. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The stock market, still nervous about the possibility of recession, suffered a downturn today. The Dow down 205 points to 11,378. The Nasdaq was off 4 points at the close, 23.25. The price of oil fell $2 to $124 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Look, it's a tile floor in our bathroom.
Why do we wait so long to do this anyway?
We're performing surgery on our floor.
I need some tools, stat.
It's time to stop waiting and start doing. Through August 3rd, the Home Depot has special deferred financing store-wide when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. Perfect for a gorgeous tile floor or anything you put off. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercraft or sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8/21/08, subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
Another alternative to sugar has arrived on the market. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
As the late Jackie Gleason put it,
how sweet it is!
But what is it? A new zero-calorie sweetener derived from a South American bush with sweet leaves called stevia. PepsiCo calls its version Purevia, now announcing it'll be in some fruit-flavored drinks in Latin America. The Wall Street Journal says Coca-Cola is racing to use stevia in a soft drink here in the U.S., but there's still no federal approval to use it in food and drink. One downside, what some call a licorice aftertaste. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Jack Molman says he looked in the mirror one day and said, "You have a dream, go for it." Molman's dream is to play the organ at Radio City Music Hall in New York, the largest theater pipe organ ever built by Wurlitzer. So the 67-year-old retired Air Force colonel liquidated his savings, nearly $120,000, to hire the hall a week from Saturday. Tickets are $50. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, on three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors.
Oh. I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Get 10% off appliances of $3.99 or more at the Home Depot. Pick from brands like GE, Maytag, and LG, including Energy Star appliances that save money on your energy bill. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Through August 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey! Mr. Opportunity again, and if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step, because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking.
live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast and airing on the weekends in Seattle and Portland. And this hour is of special interest to our Portland listeners on 620 KPOJ and our Coos Bay listeners on the mighty KBBR. Great to have you with us, because we're going to talk to the man who's challenging your incumbent Republican Senator Gordon Smith in this November's election. Jeff Merkley joins me now. He is currently the Speaker of the lower house. That's the House of Representatives in the state of Oregon. And I believe it's his third term. He came out of Stanford and Princeton, worked for Habitat for Humanity. And Jeff Merkley, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, sir. And there's a lot that I want to talk about, and we have a limited amount of time, so I'd kind of like to get acquainted with you around the issues. And one of the first and most critical things for me is I ask you to make a pledge. If you're elected to the United States Senate, will you work to revoke the FISA amendments and give me back my Fourth Amendment rights?
Boy, I sure will. And I'll tell you, I did a blog posting on that just the day after the vote, just saying that this is definitely wrong and needs to be changed. And I applaud Senator Dodd and a couple dozen senators who stood up and protected the Fourth Amendment, and I'm deeply disappointed in the rest.
Yeah. And do you believe that there is will in the Senate to fix this? Because I was deeply disappointed that 21 senators, if I don't have the number in front of me, but it was 18 to 21 Democrats, voted with the Republicans to not only continue the eavesdropping program in the United States, but to grant immunity to the phone companies so that legally we will never find out the breadth and the dimensions of the invasion of Americans' privacy that occurred in the Bush administration.
Well, I hope that political will is there. Obviously, I was disappointed, along with you and many others, about the vote that took place, because that was the moment to challenge it. It's going to be that much harder as time passes. We're going to need leadership from Obama on this. He says that the bill was, he voted for it as a compromise. Well, I think that leaves a door open to going back and fixing the parts that are broken in that bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your position there, and if you get elected, I'm going to be following up, Senator.
Okay, very good. I look forward to that.
And what is your best route to get us out of Iraq?
Well, I have felt that we have been, you know, this is such a war that shouldn't have been authorized and shouldn't have been fought, that we've got to get our sons and daughters off these checkpoints, out of these patrols that were there with speaking the wrong language, carrying the wrong culture, and quite frankly, hampering the sort of transition that needs to occur. And as long as we're willing to fill those roles, I'm sure the Iraqi militias will be happy to have us on the front line.
Do you believe, Mr. Speaker, that the surge has worked?
Here's what I think. I think we're in the eye of the storm, and that at the same time that the expansion of troops occurred, we also started paying local militias so much per day per soldier if they were calm.
That's right.
And that we've essentially bought a period of silence. And that's a short-term patch, if you will, that probably results in a buildup of cash and armaments that make the long-term transition much worse.
And it really frustrates me right now, Jeff Merkley, that since Obama has returned from his trip to the Middle East and Iraq and Afghanistan, there is this constant pounding from the media where they simply assert that the surge has worked and that somehow he's in denial and just won't admit it because he's too prideful. And the truth is that, as you pointed out, the Anbar Awakening is fueled by payments from the United States to those people who are manning checkpoints, and I'd certainly rather have them do that than point their weapons at American troops. But it is a temporary situation, as is the stand down by Muqtada al-Sadr's forces, the Mahdi army. And so this is, I think, a false sense of a lull that has occurred at a time that's convenient politically for the Republicans. But when I hear just about every voice in the media saying that the surge has worked and offering very little evidence to support that assertion, it drives me bonkers.
Yes. Well, as it should.
So what do we do about that? How do we get the truth out? How do we get people to understand what you appear to understand, Jeff Merkley, that it's more complicated than that? It's not a simple black and white, oh, more troops, less violence, the surge worked.
Well, sometimes I am concerned over the ability to get the message through, and we still have a large number of Americans believing that Iraqis were involved in 9/11. And so the level of, but here's what we need to do. It isn't so much, we have got to change presidents. We have got to have a U.S. Senate that can get bills to the floor of the Senate so that we can, in fact, implement a significant change in policy and end our military presence in Iraq.
Well,
so I don't know that we'll ever convince and educate everyone, but we've got to get the tools in place to be able to change directions.
Jeff Merkley is with us, candidate for the U.S. Senate in the state of Oregon. He is a Democrat, of course, and you can visit his website. There's a lot of information there at jeffmerkley.com, M-E-R-K-L-E-Y, jeffmerkley.com. And as Speaker of the Oregon House, what issues that are really important to Oregonians do you plan to carry to Washington, Jeff?
Well, first, on behalf of my fellow House members, I want to note that we don't call it the lower house in Oregon. We call it the West Wing.
Okay.
But here are the types of issues that are really resonate. One is indeed ending the war. A second is affordable, accessible health care. A third is an energy policy that ends our dependence on foreign oil, that tackles global warming so that we don't end up with a global fever of 5 to 9 degrees 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Another significant factor is recreating living wage jobs in this country that have been swept out by Gordon Smith and George Bush's trade and tax policies. And finally, we've got to restore the integrity of the United States. We got to make sure that we reverse our positions and be in a place where we have integrity to the world and not be associated with extraordinary renditions and secret prisons and torture and the trampling of the Geneva Convention and the suspension of habeas corpus. These things are not the America I believe in, and it's not the America Oregonians believe in. I don't think it's the America most Americans believe in. It's not the America the rest of the world wants to look to, and we have to dramatically change directions and reach out and set a light to the world. Not carry the example of the Bush administration.
We're talking with Jeff Merkley here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us till the bottom of the hour, so particularly our Coos Bay listeners, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, join us right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Jeff Merkley, I see that you're slightly leading in the polls over an incumbent Republican, and at this stage of the campaign, that's promising because it's not easy to beat an incumbent. I think you've got to know that pretty well. What do you attribute the weakness of Smith and the strength of Merkley to at this stage of the campaign?
Well, Smith has been a 90% Bush-Cheney rubber stamp in a state that has the lowest opinion of Bush and Cheney, I'm proud to say, of any state in the country. So he's fundamentally out of sync with this state, and he threw us into this war. He proceeded to give away the Treasury to every single special interest group that asked to give it away to the wealthiest, help drive us into debt. Smith has rubber stamped every mistake of this administration that has hurt America, including tax policies that subsidize the export of living wage jobs.
And you know, the only vote that I've heard of Smith making that counters the president, he has raised issues about the occupation of Iraq and the way the war was launched, but he tends to vote to authorize every supplemental payment and to block any efforts by the Democrats to put strings on the funding for the occupation. But the only case where I've seen him buck the Bush administration is on the Children's Health Insurance, S-CHIP.
Yes, he did that. He did that in this period when he was now running for re-election. I was working hard for Measure 50 here in our state that would have provided universal health care for children through a tobacco tax. Obviously, S-CHIP is very similar. When he's running for re-election, Smith changes directions dramatically. And isn't it kind of sad that you really have, instead of somebody who stands up for the things they believe in, they have their 90% Bush-Cheney rubber stamp side, until they feel like, oh, oops, the citizens of Oregon might pay attention, I better change my policies. If someone's going to change their policies, then why not elect someone who fights for those policies all the time, who always has fought for affordable, accessible health care and for living wage jobs?
Now, you've challenged Gordon Smith to return funds that he received from Ted Stevens. Ted is the he's the most senior senator in the United States Senate. He was indicted the other day for allowing an oil company that has been a major contributor to his campaigns to do more than $250,000 in remodeling on a vacation home that he owns in Alaska. Has Gordon Smith responded to your challenge that he should return the campaign contributions that have come from Ted Stevens and that appear to have influenced Mr. Smith's votes over ANWR issues?
Well, certainly it is a very questionable situation, and he's taken $37,000 in donations from Ted Stevens. He returned the most recent $10,000 he received, but not the balance. And, I mean, every one of those dollars is tainted. He took them, a majority of them, in this election cycle. Even if he took them earlier on, we're talking about a long-standing situation, he should return every cent. And, in fact, what I've called for is not for him to return those to Stevens, but to donate them to a charity that provides children's health care. Mm-hmm. And that would be a very productive use. But he doesn't seem to see the moral dilemma here and wants to get away with just the most recent donation.
And Jeff Merkley, as you look at the high price that we are paying at the pump, are you inclined to support offshore drilling? And if so or if not, what is your proposal to try to reduce the cost of gasoline that Americans are paying?
Well, number one, we need to close the London loophole that allows speculation. We in Oregon are very familiar with what Enron did in the electricity markets, as you all are in California.
Yeah, they bought your utility.
Yes, they sure did. They operated it right out of downtown Portland here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know when markets are opaque, as they are in the London market, that easily subject to manipulation. We need to take that on. Second of all, we should sell some of the strategic petroleum reserve, do it at 500,000 barrels a day, utilize that for just a short-term relief. Third is we should be massively investing, as we should have been 10 years ago or 20 years ago, in alternative energy so that we can free ourselves from dependence on oil sheiks around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Smith absolutely towed the line with the oil companies every step of the way, giving them $18 billion in subsidies for additional drilling rather than investing in alternative energy. And then finally, that sort of investment we need to take and carry forward to the point that we can not only augment massively our solar, our wind, our wave, our geothermal, perhaps cellulosic ethanol, but we have to do so in a way that then we can also make it a strong part of our economy.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Jeff Merkley. He's the Democrat running against Gordon Smith for the United States Senate seat in Oregon. And if you have a question or comment, call me right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we're starting off this time in Soledad. South 101 at Front Street, motorcycle down. That should be off to the right-hand shoulder now. CHP is on the scene. The good news, no injuries there. Watsonville eastbound 129 at Murphy Crossing. We have a grass fire that's spreading up the hillside. Fire department on the scene. Eastbound lanes of 129 shut down, so expect delays. Salinas Baranda Road at 101. Inner tubes are part of a tire in the roadway. Watch out there. 17 currently checks in Stalin, accident-free. Oh, and Highway 9 northbound at Quito Road. We're getting reports of a grass fire. Fire department is on the scene taking care of that. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're getting to know guest Jeff Merkley. He is the Democratic nominee facing off against Gordon Smith for the Oregon Senate seat this November, and he's been serving as Speaker of the House in the Oregon Legislature. And we're joined by Tim in Coos Bay. Tim, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Jeff Merkley.
Hey, thanks, Peter B. You know, I've met Jeff. I'm the I work at a community college in Coos Bay, Southwest Oregon Community College, and I'm the president of the faculty union. And so I got an opportunity to meet Jeff when he came and spoke to us. Our AFT group had a thing of presidents at the in Portland, and he came by and talked to us about his views on education. I'd like to have him, but tell your listeners though about his what his views are in support of college students, community college students, and maybe even veterans coming back from the Iraq War. What is he going to do to sort of help us, you know, deal with all these issues?
Great question. Thank you, Tim. Go ahead, Jeff.
And I could barely hear, but I believe it was college students and veterans.
Yeah, he wanted to ask about returning college college rights for returning veterans.
Yes, absolutely. I have had the philosophy we should be very slow to go to war and very fast to take care of our sons and daughters and husbands and wives when they come home. And that in this sense, Gordon Smith and George Bush got it exactly backwards. And we did quite a bit in the Oregon legislature to assist our veterans with returning and kind of getting back into, if you will, the rhythm of society. And one of the things we did related to college and veterans was not only to assist them directly in getting additional training, but we also passed a provision in Oregon that if one of our citizens dies in the line of duty, we make sure that all the immediate family members have the opportunity by paying the tuition equivalent to 4 years at a public institution.
Mm-hmm.
But that's extremely important, and there's so much we need to do for our veterans beyond just the 21st century GI Bill that was passed recently. We need to greatly strengthen our health care for veterans. We need to greatly increase the screening for post-traumatic stress. We need to basically be of much greater assistance as they reintegrate into society. And we need to make sure that they spend at least as much time back here in the United States before they're sent back overseas as they spent overseas, mm-hmm. to provide kind of a psychic relief. It's been a great embarrassment to me how we have failed to care for our veterans, as I think it is to every patriotic American.
Now, Speaker Merkley, I like everything I've heard so far. I have to tell you, though, I'm a little troubled by a page at your website where you're calling for increased penalties for meth producers and meth users, and also a crackdown on sex offenders. And frankly, I think you're embracing some of the failed policies of previous Republican administrations. I don't believe that stricter laws or longer sentences will change drug behavior. And you call, for example, to strengthen child pornography laws about materials that don't cross state or international borders, and I'll just advise you that I know of a case here in California of a man who sent some porn, kiddie porn, intrastate, and he is facing a five-year minimum mandatory sentence in federal court. So I'm just a little concerned because I don't consider these progressive or compassionate positions.
Well, you're also going to find on the meth approach, we did a couple things in Oregon. We did the strongest rules for the availability of local ingredients, mm-hmm. and basically wiped out the meth labs here in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And we also emphasized, and you'll find this on my federal plan, really emphasized treatment and prevention. Because as our candidate for Attorney General says, you get a lot more bang for the buck out of treatment than you get in some of the other strategies, if you will.
I understand, and I certainly approve of that. But your website says here more federal prosecutors in Oregon and more agents from the DEA, and I don't think that'll solve the problem.
Well, I hear the difference of opinion there, and I accept that. I think I want to hit it on both ends, on the prevention end and on the penalty end. And hopefully the prevention will make it a many fewer cases where we need to consider the penalty.
And just on the kiddie porn issue, I realize it's a problem and the Internet has aggravated it, but we need to allow judges to sentence people for the crimes before them, not cookie-cutter sentences that are devised before the offense has occurred.
Well, one of the things we did here in Oregon is we said, look, if you are soliciting over the Internet, that is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Not waiting until, if you will, people go out and meet with our children. And I would emphasize do that same piece at the federal level.
All right. Jeff Merkley, great to meet you. Best wishes against Gordon Smith this fall.
Hey, thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and lines are open in the free speech zone. What did you think of Jeff Merkley, eh?
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Hey, thanks, Coolio. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are wide open for you. Eureka, you don't have a ball game today, so I want to hear from you at 888-5 Peter B. Coos Bay, you just heard the man who wants to be your next United States Senator, Jeff Merkley. Tell me what you thought. I felt he scored pretty well on most of the critical issues, foreign policy. He took it well when I asked him to return my Fourth Amendment rights and revise the FISA amendments that were passed amid great controversy just a couple of weeks ago. And other than the crime issues of kiddie porn and meth, where I think he's probably making calculated political comments because of the problems, particularly with meth in Oregon, I thought that he presented himself very well. He's certainly verbally pretty quick. So I want to hear from Oregon listeners and also anybody else who wants to comment on what you think of Jeff Merkley and his prospects for defeating Gordon Smith this November. So lines are open now, and if you're a first-time caller, I've got a DVD to give you about the future of coal. Now, the president went to a coal barons meeting today in West Virginia where he talked about that good old clean coal and just how great it is, can help us beat our energy problems. And, of course, clean coal is a lie. Coal is not clean when it's burned. It's not clean when it's extracted from the ground, particularly using mountaintop mining methods. And I have a powerful documentary called The Future of Coal that I will be happy to share with any first-time callers here in the next half hour. And don't wait till the end of the hour. That's when the lines jam up and we run out of time to take your call. So if you have a comment about Jeff Merkley or anything else we've been talking about today, I want to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, a judge in Washington ruled in favor of the House Judiciary Committee and informed Josh Bolton, the White House Chief of Staff, and Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel, that they must appear in response to the subpoenas that have been issued. He cannot compel them to talk, but he appears prepared to compel them to appear. And I find that hopeful and interesting. You may want to comment on that. And also, Bush, in addition to the coal comments he made, he offered some comments about Iraq today, where he said that we've achieved a degree of durability, and he points to the reduction in the loss of American lives and pretends that that means that the situation there is getting more and more under control. And that's not really true. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let's get some news that you won't find in the corporate media. And he just cleared his throat right there on the air. Reporter R.J. Shulman joining us now from an undisclosed location. R.J., how are you?
I'm doing great. It's just great to be somewhere in America, you know, the place where the streets are paved with coal. So it's great to be back on the coal standard, according to Bush. So I think we're in great shape, Peter B.
And, RJ, are you actually today in Faultline, Utah? That's the dateline for your top-of-the-blog story.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was getting ready to leave.
Uh-huh.
As quickly as it was safe to do so.
I see. Are you under some sort of a lockdown there?
Always.
Uh-huh.
There's always, you know, since we've lost our Fourth Amendment, and they know exactly where we are, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I understand. I want to direct people to your website. It's the exclusive source for the reporting of R.J. Shulman. Guy has been fired from 13 major daily papers and now publishes on his own site, the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch. Lead story today, President Bush to head new Shift of Blame Foundation. So we have learned that Laura has nixed going back to the ranch. Crawford will not be the retirement destination of W and Laura. Instead, she's house hunting in Dallas. And now he's coming up with this new SOB foundation?
Yeah, it's called the Shift of Blame Foundation. It's actually been there for a while, but it has been unreported, of course, by the corporate media, who would not like us to know about this foundation, but it works a little bit like the Heritage Foundation. It's a conservative think tank.
Now, I'm sorry, RJ, are you telling us that Dr. Henry Kissinger was the founder of the SOB Foundation, the Shift of Blame Foundation?
Yeah, it's actually been that old. It's been around for quite a while, it's just, you know, very important in their eyes to make sure that if a mistake is made, that you never take the blame for it, but you find clever ways to shift it onto someone else.
Now, in your report, you indicate that Duke Cunningham, the former congressman from San Diego, was the last leader of the SOB Foundation. And, of course, he's behind bars for the corruption and bribery that he enjoyed so much. So Bush is going to replace Duke Cunningham as the head of the SOB Foundation?
Yeah, that's right. As soon as Bush's term is up, he's going to end up in Utah heading up this foundation.
But won't David Vitter and Larry Craig and now Ted Stevens feel a little bit left out?
Well, the problem is that the reason the Shift of Blame foundation has been worried lately is they've been losing a lot of members because of, you know, some of them have died off, like Jesse Helms, and the rest of them are headed for jail. So they think that with President Bush being so good at fundraising, he's going to be good at recruiting a lot of young people, a whole new generation into this foundation.
R.J. Shulman, this gets more astounding as I read paragraph to paragraph. The next thing I'm learning here is that Bill O'Reilly is a member of the board of directors of the Shift of Blame Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to his program, you can see that he takes that philosophy very, very seriously, and is usually blaming someone else for whatever he and his conservative friends are doing.
And you go on to say the foundation is currently in a major campaign to blame Barack Obama for the high gas prices, shifting the blame from greedy oil companies to the Illinois senator for not supporting unfettered oil exploration. Quote, looks like we have drilled Obama on this one, said former Secretary of the Interior and founding SOB member James Watt. Wow, I haven't heard from him in ages. What did he say? He had two women, a black and a cripple, and that was his staff, and therefore he was an equal opportunity guy? I remember
that. Yeah, that's the guy. You've got it right.
Holy cow. And this just keeps going. Here's a quote from Dick Cheney. We are pleased that we'll have such a high-profile leader, said Dick Cheney, who's now acting SOB vice president since Scooter Libby left. Wow, this is just too much. And, RJ, why are you the only one who knows about the SOB Foundation?
I think everybody else wants to keep their job who's working in the corporate media. And I've lost so many jobs that it doesn't matter anymore to me. So I think that's what it is. It's just a matter of survival. And you can't blame them. You're making six figures. You want to keep that, mm-hmm. especially with the way the economy is.
Yeah.
Who can drive around looking for work these days?
No, you can't afford to. You got to just do it all online and hope the job comes to you. And since I mentioned Ted Stevens, let me jump a story here. The senator, very senior senator from Alaska, has been indicted. He had an energy company remodel his house and didn't report it on his gift forms. And what do you think we should take away from the indictment of Ted Stevens?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, and it was not reported by the corporate media, the first thing that he said was, quote, I thought we legalized bribes, unquote. So he didn't really think he was doing anything wrong.
I see.
And the second thing is that I think that maybe we will get some ethics back in the Senate. We're starting to see some people take notice of the things that have been done wrong, and even someone who's been in the Senate as long as Stevens is not immune to this anymore.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the problems here is that I've seen Harry Reid and Dick Durbin, other prominent Democratic senators, offer sympathy to Ted Stevens for getting caught and reminding us of the presumption of innocence. And while legally he is entitled to a presumption of innocence, politically, the Democrats should be screaming to the rafters, this guy's got to resign. Get him out of here. He's ethically challenged. And, by the way, take Vitter and Craig with you.
Yeah, I think that there's an unspoken Senate rule that if a Republican does it, it's okay to stay in power. But if a Democrat does it, they're the ones that have to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I haven't been able to uncover the actual written rule, but it certainly has been one that's been followed.
R.J. Shulman from PTSD1.blogspot.com. That's the website of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. Again, PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. And, R.J., time for one more story here. I saw an item on the web today that the McCain campaign is accusing Obama of playing the race card. And I don't know if this is some kind of anticipatory inoculation or exactly what they're striving for, but since when does a white majority feel victimized by racism?
I think if you are a conservative, that's one of your talking points. But in reality, if anybody's using the race card, it's the Republicans using the NASCAR race card and trying to get all those folks to enjoy that, to vote for them.
But what about McCain here and his whole problem with Czechoslovakia? I mean, I went to the Czech Republic in 1994, RJ, and it was very clear that they had a happy breakup with the Slovaks, and that Czech and Slovakia are two separate countries and have been for 15 years. And someone has failed to notify John McCain.
I know. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, he's still trying to win over the Czechoslovakian vote by talking about how the Soviets should leave. and he actually called them the Soviets. That was also not reported by the corporate media, but that's part of this whole story.
Well, and you've got the quote here. I want you to know, this is McCain, I fully support the removal of Soviet troops from Czechoslovakia. Now, what a double standard. We can't take our troops out of Iraq, and he's demanding that the non-existent Soviet Union remove their non-existent troops from a non-existent country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a totally amazing double standard. Once again, it's just not being reported except on your show.
Well, RJ, you continue to amaze me and often amuse me, and I want to thank you for your work.
Well, anytime, Peter B. You have yourself a good, safe week.
All right. Thank you very much. That's RJ Schulman. And again, the website of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch is ptsd1.blogspot.com. And I want to hear from you. The lines are quiet right now. Nobody's called to tell me about Jeff Merkley. I'd like to hear your reaction. And if you want to comment on other issues in the news, I welcome those comments. I'll remind you that tomorrow at this time, I will be originating live from Madison, Wisconsin. That is the scene of the Nonstop Radio Progressive Radio Symposium. And a lot of great people are going to be there. Tom Hartman, who will lead off our show tomorrow in the first hour, is attending this conference, along with people like Jenk from the Young Turks, John Elliott from Air America, and many other people who are working in progressive talk around the country. And I'm looking forward to joining them there as we talk about the state of affairs in progressive radio, how to sustain it and how to expand it. We've had a few gains recently. There's a 50,000-watt station in Dallas that's now 24/7 with progressive talk, and there are efforts bubbling on both coasts to return progressive talk to San Diego and to Boston, and I expect to get an update on those efforts this weekend. So if you want to talk about progressive talk radio, that's welcome too. Lines open for you here in the Free Speech Zone. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. New problem just coming in. South 101 before Cochran Road and Morgan Hill. A dump truck and a car. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. Southbound 17 after the summit, we have reports of an accident. Looks like two cars off to the side. Kings Creek Road east of Highway 9. A tree is down partially in the roadway. One car had its windshield shattered. They pulled off to the side and CHP's on the way. Oh, also going back to 17 northbound before Glenwood Drive. Watch out for an aluminum ladder. That's in the left-hand lane. 183 at the Castroville Beacon Station. We have reports of an accident that may be blocking that intersection. CHP is on the scene. And 129 east of Murphy Crossing, we had reports of a big grass fire burning on the hillside. It looks like that eastbound lane still shut down. They're saying maybe another 45 minutes, so expect delays there. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Fight the bite with Orkin. When you buy a mosquito service, Orkin will make a donation to help fight the spread of malaria in Africa. Visit mosquito.orkin.com to learn more. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening. Spread the word, will you? You can share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. And more of your calls now. Billy in Capitola is joining us. Hi, Billy.
Hey, have fun with all those lefties.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And Madison, of course, you know, it's like Berkeley or Tacoma Park, you know.
Like Ann Arbor. It's like one of those lefty cities.
Wow. You bet, yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And the weather forecast is showing nice summer temperatures, but they are keeping the humidifier down. So.
I don't believe you. The weather will never be as good as it is right here.
Well, you're probably right about that.
On that, we have you beat. The rest of it, fine.
Yeah.
So the commercial, the celebrity commercial, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to concede earlier today when I was talking with Faz that I didn't recognize Britney Spears.
Whoa. Well, here's what I recognize, and Mike Barnacle agreed with me.
Yeah?
I saw echoes of the Harold Ford young blonde ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do, and I want to credit Paul Waldman, who was on with us yesterday from Media Matters in our first hour, because he mentioned, you know, that Paris Hilton and Britney Spears are young, white, blonde women who are known for their sexuality.
That's right.
And so, yes, to put that out there is certainly offensive to anyone who's, deeply religious or prudish in those respects.
Or just doesn't want that popular celebrity black man getting all our beautiful blonde women.
Well, that could be an inference, yes.
So, Mike Barnacle actually asked about it as he was sitting in for Chris, so I'm glad to see I wasn't the only sick guy around here who got that.
Yeah, but I got a bone to pick with Barnacle because he was leading the pack the other night in this phony assertion that the surge is working and somehow Obama is the only guy in America who won't admit it.
You know, it's sort of funny, but this is the things they're spending television time on. Things like celebrity or why won't Obama admit it. And, of course, my favorite is, he's acting presidential. How dare he?
Yeah, right. That's an uppity black man.
You got it. Exactly. 100%. That's the message.
Well, and Billy, I've mentioned this before, but in June, I went to visit family in the conservative wing
of the
Collins gang. And these white relatives of mine who live in Detroit.
And they're not stupid people.
No, they're not. But Detroit's a very segregated city. Kwame Kilpatrick is a corrupt African-American mayor who they're embarrassed by on
a
daily...
And also in a big Arab community.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, big Muslim community.
But the interesting factor there was that they were not willing to say, oh, gosh, I'm just not comfortable voting for a black guy. Abd is the Arabic term for that, and that's a code word that they use among themselves. But they said, well, he just doesn't have enough experience.
Yeah.
And that is the code that I think is being used by white people to diminish or demean Barack Obama. And I do believe that it is interpreted by those people inclined to hear it that way as a racist comment, not just, oh, you know, he's only been in the Senate for 4 years.
Thanks, Peter. You got it right.
Okay, Billy. Always good to hear from you. Appreciate it. And now Wally's on the line from Coos Bay. Hey, Wally.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
I'm glad to hear from you. I believe you're a first-time caller.
That's true.
Well, you got to hold on after the call because we're going to get your address and send you a DVD about the future of coal.
That'll be cool. Okay.
So tell me what you thought of Jeff Merkley. He wants to be your next United States Senator.
I'll tell you something. I wasn't even going to bother voting, but you know what? I'm voting for Merkley, baby.
Wow. Tell me what changed your tune, Wally.
Thank you. And you guys are the greatest, you know. You're going to go visit with the rest of the gang in Air America, huh?
Yeah.
So I got a suggestion for you.
All right.
Tom Harmon has always given Obama advice, you know. And I don't think he ever actually calls him up and gives him that advice. He gives us that advice. And you too, you know.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is all of their America people get together. I don't know if you guys listen to each other or not. But you ought to get together.
Uh-huh.
And be a team, you know. Get with Obama. Call him up with your suggestions, you know.
Well, first of all, to your first point there, Wally, one of the things that I think is good about progressive talk is that I know Tom Hartman, and I talk to him from time to time. We trade emails. I listen to him on the radio. I know Ed Schultz. I occasionally talk to him and meet him at events like this, and we do occasionally trade phone calls and emails, but we do not coordinate our editorial. We don't coordinate the guests we invite on the show. We don't coordinate the topics that we discuss. And we do not coordinate the positions that we take.
You're fighting the organized gang of right-wing nuts.
Yes.
Now, why not organize?
Because I believe that it's different on the left. And I believe that independent voices can attract a broader cross-section of people than if we attempt to be what the Democratic Party wants, which is their echo chamber. And this has surfaced, okay? There was a meeting in Washington back in 2004 before the progressive radio thing started to get launched. And actually, it was 2003, I'm sorry. And one senator went to this meeting and said, I need you to be my echo chamber because my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have Rush and Sean and Bill and all these people who repeat their talking points. And I respectfully disagree with that. I do not carry water for the most liberal members or the most conservative members of the Democratic Party. I offer you my own point of view, and you can take that or leave it, but at the end of the day, you're going to know that you heard from Peter B. Collins and not a guy who is delivering talking points approved by a Democrat or the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah.
And I believe long term that is a stronger position. And the other thing is that the Democrats have never really supported progressive talk, even though you would think it is in their interest. Many of them are happy to call in and appear on our programs, but they have, with limited exceptions, never really lifted a finger to help the business side succeed and to really help us grow and expand to become a truly national presence. And I say that kindly because there's still time for them to step up and recognize that progressive media can really help, particularly if we have an Obama victory and control of the House and bigger margin in the Senate next year. So, Wally, I'm really delighted to hear from you. Hold on. We're going to get your address and send you a DVD.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be live from Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in and join us. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A grim announcement today from California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Thousands of pink slips will start going out across the state. And I'm also canceling all overtime except for public safety and 24-hour medical care.
He's reducing 200,000 state workers to minimum wage because of a cash flow crisis. The budget is a month overdue.
The action that the governor took today is very unfortunate and also unnecessary.
Assembly Speaker Karen Bass, the legislature is deadlocked over how to deal with a projected deficit of $15.2 billion. We've avoided recession, at least so far. Today, the Commerce Department pegged second quarter growth at an annual rate of 1.9%. Those economic stimulus checks get much of the credit. The Bush administration predicts continued slow growth with stronger growth next year and beyond. But former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned today that we're on the brink of recession. He said it could be tipped over the edge by the weakening global economy. Quite a coup for the Phoenix Mars lander.
We landed right on top of water ice, and the thrusters spread the soil away and revealed ice right underneath our lander. This was unexpected.
University of Arizona scientist Peter Smith says the spacecraft was able to grab a piece of ice, melt it, and analyze it. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says the discovery of water means there might be or might have been life.
If they can find signs of organic compounds, these are the compounds that are necessary on Earth, at least, for life to evolve, you have a potential habitat on Mars.
Phoenix landed near the Martian North Pole 2 months ago. The Bush administration hints at further troop withdrawals from Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Asserting that violence in Iraq is down to its lowest level in 4 years, President Bush said U.S. forces are increasingly taking a supporting role there.
In the months ahead, the Iraqis will continue taking the lead in more military operations across the country.
In a statement first thing this morning, President Bush said al-Qaeda is on the run in Iraq, but terrorists still pose a threat, and in his words, we remain a nation at war. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Solar energy is great when the sun's shining. Problem comes when it gets dark or even cloudy.